Praise the Lord. Today, it's our last day of the conference, and when the last day comes around, it's a little, we're also happy, but we are also sad. There's so many saints are around us, and we all have this encouragement to run the race set before us.
Amen.
It's so precious. I remember the first time I came and met the saints over here, and I did not come and stay over here because of all the doctrines and all the things that I can learn, but I truly saw that God was among us.
Amen.
If God is not among us, then what are we doing? So it's so precious. We need to pray, Father. You need to be in our midst.
Amen.
Without you, we can't go onward.
Yes.
We have to have such a desire. I'm asked to wait, so I'm just waiting. Is it better now? Praise the Lord. So, second to the last meeting, the topic is reaching perfection, our personal responsibility. It's so wonderful that in this conference, the Lord reveals so much to us. He revealed His grand plan, what the Lord wants to do, and He wants to do it through man. He revealed to us that we have such a great high priest who is interceding for each one of us seated over here.
Amen.
He will bring us to perfection. And the word says that He has given us His wonderful Holy Spirit. None of us lack anything. Now what is left? Just you and me. Each one of us individually need to come to this realization. Lord, I want to stand for Your kingdom. Yeah, praise the Lord. Now, I put this verse over here, Matthew chapter 5, verses 48. Matthew 5, 48, the Lord said, let's read it, yeah? Therefore, you shall be perfect, as your heavenly Father in heaven is perfect. Yeah, this is what the Lord wants to see in each one of us. Go on to maturity. Go on to perfection. Go on to be completely depending on the Father, that when the Father one day sees us face to face, He won't say, okay, Ronnie, tell me everything about the priesthood. Ronnie, tell me all the doctrines that you have learned so far. No, the Father won't be doing this. He'll be looking for His Son in us.
Amen.
Show me where's my Son. Show me where's my Son. Have we been conformed to the glorious image of this wonderful Son? Be perfect. So I want to see my Son in you. I don't want to see all the things that you're trying to do. I want to see my Son in you. If the Son is missing, we're all just running this race in vain. So ask the Lord, Lord, I want to be conformed to this glorious image. Paul said these words, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Let us learn to live Christ. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so it is our personal responsibility. It comes down to each and every one of us gathered here. And I took this topic because the Lord has been teaching me and chastening me and correcting me. We can quote a lot of verses now. Some of us are so comfortable saying a lot of verses. But has it become our reality? And I'll start with a confession. We went to New York with our family recently, and we were driving back. And while driving back on the highway, the family wanted to stop many times. And I was like, guys, we got to just keep going. And then I realized there were no cameras around when I was driving on the highway. And it was 65 miles an hour. And then a thought just entered my mind. You know what? Keep going. Go faster. I could have done two things. I could have taken that thought, brought it a captive, and brought it to the obedience of Christ. I could have. It was right there. But then I let it fester. I let it grow in me. I looked around. Okay, no cameras, no cops. Okay, let's hit it. And I was flying on the highway. 75, 85. Yeah, I did that. Where was Christ in me? The hope of glory. I say these words. Where is the reality, my brothers and sisters? And then from the corner of my eye, I saw it. The man with the radar gun. And then as I, it was too late to slow down now. I crossed and I saw him leave his parking spot and following me. I had the conversation with the cop, with the most gentlest cop I ever had. But that was not the point. As I was talking to him, the Lord brought me into his presence. You know all these things. I was quoting Peter, 1 Peter, it says, be diligent to make your call and election sure. Are you making it sure? The word says, be doers of the word. Where is the reality? This was my reality. As I stood there talking to this, I was asking the Lord, where is the reality? Whose responsibility is it? What has the Lord not given us? His word, living and powerful. It was cutting in my heart at that point. And I was asking the Lord, Lord, I know, I thought I knew, but I really don't know. To live is Christ. And where is that Christ? I was missing it. You know, we can know about the priesthood, we can know so many things, but where is the reality? You know, we need to ask the Lord. You know, the brothers reminded us during this time of preparation. Romans 15, 18, yeah, we know the verse. For I will not dare to speak anything that Christ has not achieved in me. He has not accomplished in me. And I asked the Lord, Lord, have you accomplished anything? Have I been conformed to this glorious image? The price of Christ is not cheap. The blood is not cheap. It was more precious than gold and silver. It just became so clear to me. The price of that lamb was not small. In the book of Exodus, when the destroyer was going to destroy all the firstborn child, they saw that blood. They were not able to enter. That blood is not cheap. That is the blood we are all covered by. The blood of Christ is not cheap. May we not take it lightly. Yeah, praise the Lord. Put these points over here. You know, I'm also reminded, you know, the other day the brother was sharing, sign the contract. Sign the contract, right? It's amazing. I don't know if you've ever got a contract to sign. Sometimes the contract is over 50 pages and it's printed front and back. I don't know if you take the time to read a contract. I don't. I'll like, oh, just get it done. And then at the end, 3 months later, a surprise debit goes from your account. I'm like, what? I didn't sign up for this. Sign the contract. Know your contract. It's given to every house. It's given to every person. The word of God is given to us to read. Mm-hmm. Meditate on it day and night. You will be like a tree planted by the waters. Joshua was told, eat it. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Follow it to the word. Mm-hmm. But what do? We all like conferences. I like messages. I hear all the brothers speaking. Am I eating it? I can say I will eat it, but is it my reality? The Lord proved to me it is not my reality. So we need to come to the Lord. In Luke chapter 9, verses 61 and 62, another man said, you know, it says, I'll read these verses for you. Another also said, Lord, I will follow you. But let me go first and say bye to my household. But Jesus said to them, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. Let's be honest, saints. How many of us look back? Oh, that life was better. You're not fit for the kingdom, the Lord says. I don't know about you. But if you're looking, look unto Jesus. Don't look at your strength. I can tell you that when you're in the church life for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you may not realize, but your eyes shift from the Lord and it looks onto you. I've heard all these things. Where's the reality? The Lord proved to me there's no reality. If you want to be fit for the kingdom, look unto Jesus, the only perfect author, the finisher, went ahead of us. Yeah, praise the Lord. You know, Colossians 1:10 says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And that's where I want to tell you, saints, like, you know, when you increase in the knowledge of God, something happens to you. You humble yourself. You can never remain the same. The Lord cannot let you remain the same. You'll be broken. You'll realize you are a broken man. And you need this King that you can follow. Yeah, praise the Lord. So I put down 3 points over here that I wanted to just share. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Point number 2 I wanted to share later is being filled with the Spirit every day. And number 3 is not just waiting, but hastening the return of the Lord. Yeah, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. You know, saints, some of us go out to share the gospel every Sunday. And one thing has become very clear to me. The fear of the Lord is missing. The fear of God is missing. We live among a generation that the fear of God is missing. What about the church? What about God's people? Has any of you woken up? Have I woken up today to the realization that I am in the presence of a living God? Sometimes we miss it. We forget it. The fear of God is missing. In our offerings, saints, when we come to give our offerings, what's the manner we come with? Is it to make a joke? Do we know whose presence we are coming in? It's not a small thing. The fear of the Lord should be in our hearts at all time. The fear should drive us to be separated for God, a holy and a righteous God. Yeah. And I wanted to just show you some of the things that the Lord revealed to me or open my eyes to see. You know, in Revelation 14, now this was something that touched me when I came to the church life. I would hear the children pray this, Lord, help us be first fruits. Lord, help us be first fruits. You know, maybe never forget what it means to be a first fruit. A first fruit, I don't know, for the sake of the new ones, if you haven't heard it, is a fruit that has been matured on a tree. You know, when a tree grows, you put a seed and let it grow and it becomes a tree and then it comes out with leaves and then the leaves eventually bring flowers and the flowers eventually bring a fruit. And then that first fruit that matures is called a first fruit. You know, the word shows us that God is coming back for those who are matured. Those who grow up that are worth to be picked up from that tree. If we continue to remain as babes, then we need to ask the Lord, Lord, am I growing? It's my responsibility. The Lord has given us everything. He has given us a wonderful body. He has given us saints that continue to encourage us. But it comes down to me and you to mature. I cannot look at Aussie's faith and say, oh Lord, I want to be like him. No. We have to grow and mature. That's why in Revelation 14, it's a good reminder. You know, when you read Revelation 14 verses 1 to 5, I was reminded of this again. Then I looked, and behold a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of a loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women. They are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Amen. And verse 5, in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God.
Amen.
Yeah. Verse 4, when it says that they were virgins, they were not defiled with women, they were pure. They did not get indulged in the world. They were not, you know, focusing on the things of this world. They were separated to God. They wanted to live a life, Lord, I want to be well-pleasing to you. And the only way to do that is through Christ. No other way. Yeah. So this point about the fear of the Lord was very clear in my heart as I was preparing for this. I don't know how many of you think about fearing the Lord. You know, Lord Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 to 7. Luke chapter 12, verses 4 to 7. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that, they have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear.
Amen. Fear him.
After he was killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, and say,
amen. Fear the Lord. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, wisdom. How many of you sit down and think about this? Lord, fill me with such a fear that I may walk worthy in your presence. I don't want to just quote verses. I don't want to just know all these things. Yeah, ask the Lord. Romans chapter 3, verses 18. You know, if you know the context of this chapter, it says, it's talking about that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Romans chapter 3, verses 18 says, for there was no fear of God before their eyes. Yeah. Praise the Lord. In the church, we can remind one another, walk in the fear of the Lord, fully pleasing him. You know, I'm really grateful that we have such brothers who would remind us, train your children in the way they need to go. You know, I thought, oh, my child will anyway grow up. He will learn from me. He will do the things I do, and eventually he'll figure it out. This is what the world said. There's no figuring out. The world is not going to teach our children about God. The young people, we need to be reminded. We are called to be examples. Yeah. Examples to one another. Mm-hmm. If someone sees us, we should see Christ in us, the hope of glory. When a new one walks in here, they should see Christ is among us, in our conduct, in our words. You know, to Timothy it was said, right? Be an example to one another. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. It says, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things you have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days on the earth, that they may teach their children. Yeah.
Amen.
What am I teaching my child? What am I teaching my child? Is the fear of God in his heart? And I confess, not many times. You know, you walk over here casually, living our lives like the world. Where is Christ in that?
You know, the word in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, we know these verses about Jesus Christ himself. It says, and I read, who in the days of his flesh, that is the Lord Jesus, when he lived as a man, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. I hope the impression is very clear to us. The fear of God, it is what separates us from the world. You know, when Joseph was tempted to sin, he said, how can I sin against my God? Do we have this realization in us? How? And it is only through Christ.
Amen.
We want to read a few more verses in Psalms chapter 2. We all know the Psalms, right? It's talking about the wonderful Messiah, Christ himself. You know, we all think, when we think of Christ, he's just, is he an addition to your life, or is he really your king? Your king is not someone you take lightly. A king is someone you listen, you obey, you serve. A king is not someone, you know, you just come casually in front of. You prepare.
Psalms chapter 2, verses 11.
Amen.
Yeah. We often say that I've come to Mount Zion. I've come to Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. We forget, in Zion, there is fear and trembling. It's not a light thing that the Lord invites us into His presence. It's wonderful. It's glorious. But the fear of the Lord should never leave our hearts. It'll help us how to conduct ourselves in the house of the living God.
Yeah.
It's precious, saints. Ecclesiastes. You know, most people talk about Ecclesiastes. Yeah, it's a book of vanity and vanity and everything is vanity. What does it end with? What is the main point? Fear. Let the fear of God be in our hearts. That is the conclusion of the whole matter is fear God and keep His commandments. You know, the Lord Jesus Himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Most of us will say, yeah, I love the Lord. But honestly, many of us don't even know the commandments. We don't know because we don't spend time. It is our responsibility. It is us who is in the way. Yeah, praise the Lord. In the book of Acts, chapter 14, verses 22. I love this reminder from Paul. He was strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Yeah. You know, sometimes we like to live a life of comfort. What is well-pleasing to me? It's about me. And then Christ is an addition. But no, that's not the way a kingdom life is. A kingdom life is through many tribulations, seeking the Lord, putting Him first, His kingdom first. And that means I need to deny this thing in me called myself. I really appreciate the Word of God. And you know, it reveals that no, it is no more I, but Christ that lives in me. And I can do it through His strength alone. Yeah, praise the Lord. I just want to share a few more verses here in First John chapter 3, verses 1. You know, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This verse I really enjoyed. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3.
Behold,
what manner of love the Father bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Wow, what a verse. Towards the latter part of John's life, he was writing this. To consider before one another, we're looking at the children of God. Don't take it lightly. But each one have the privilege to be a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
But we should never remain the same. We should continue to exhort one another, encourage one another. Because one day, He will be revealed. And the Word says, we will be like Him. If you have this hope, this living hope in you, then you will do what it takes. You will never remain the same. The other day, a brother asked me a question. What motivates us? What motivates us? He will purify himself just as Christ is pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Amen.
Do we not have such a desire that one day we will be conformed to this glorious image? If you have this hope, then you will. You'll do what it takes. Lord, I'm still having these negative thoughts coming to me. I'm still angry at a brother and a sister. I'm still like living like the world in certain areas. Bring it to the Lord. It's my responsibility. He has given me His Spirit. He has given me His Word. He has given me the goal.
Amen.
Get out of the way. Get out of the way. To live is Christ. Come to that realization. It's not my character. It's not your character. It has to be conformed to this glorious image of Christ. Yeah, if you have this hope, you will purify yourself. How much more time do I have? I'm done?
15 minutes.
Okay. I also want to give others a chance, but I just wanted to share this as well. Point number C, yeah, it says not just waiting, but hastening the day of the Lord. You know, it was reminded in the brothers' meeting, who's waiting for whom? Who's waiting for whom? Is Christ waiting for us? Are we waiting for Christ? You know, we say that, Lord, come back quickly. But the Lord said, yeah, change. You know, He's going to be revealed like us. Change. That's the only way. And that's on me. I can't put it on someone else. I can't say that, oh, the church didn't tell me. The saints didn't. No, that's on me. The Lord is waiting to come back as much as we are waiting for Him to come. I'm in the way. Change. It's the only permanent thing in the church. Change. You know, and I love this reminder in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20. Somebody wants to read that for me?
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
Amen. This is Paul, and he's saying this out to the Corinthians, be ambassadors for Christ. I remember for the first time when I met Brother John So, and I told him I'm from Kuwait. His first question to me was, are you related to the ambassador of India? I don't know why he asked me that question 5 years ago, but it stuck with me. Because then I read then I read this. We are an ambassador. You are an ambassador. An ambassador of a country is someone who represents that country. You are an ambassador of Christ. Are you anything short? No. Ambassador. You walk out in the street, you are an ambassador. This is a comfort zone, saints. This is where we can be Christ-like. You walk out of that door, something happens. Everything changes. Suddenly the world hits at you like a ton of bricks. What are you going to do? Are you going to be an ambassador of Christ out there? That's all that matters. This is 70 people. There's 8 billion people out there. How are they going to know? The brother reminded us, how is the world going to know that this Christ is alive? He is King. He is seated at the right hand. How? If it's not through you and me, be an ambassador. Someone who God can look. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Don't you want to hear that? We need to be asking, Lord, am I ready to hear that? Yeah. He said, be a light and salt of the earth. I don't think we need an explanation there. But if the salt loses its flavor, it's not worth anything. And I just want to read this last part, which really encouraged me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3. I love this reminder that Paul told the church in Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 3. And without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God the Father. Amen. Whatever you do is in the sight of God our Father.
Right.
Let us not forget it. We live in His presence. And is it well-pleasing? Paul gets 3 words over here.
Work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope.
If you forget everything that we have shared now, remember this. Work of faith. You know, faith without works is? We know that. Faith must be expressed in love. If there, you say that I have love, but there's no evidence of it, what's the point? And sometimes, you know, we try and do so many things, but then we get burnt out. And I want to testify in my own household. You know, you can ask Jennifer. Before, we didn't know how to serve the saints, and we will serve the saints. But sometimes we'll get burnt out. Then what do you do? How do you continue serving? Come to the Lord. And I can tell amazing work that the Lord can do. He can open your heart to serve the saints like, you know, you're serving your own family. It is your own family. But the Lord has to open your eyes to see that. There's no more boundaries. What can I do more is the question in my house now. How did that happen? I thought that was impossible. Ask the Lord. Labor of love. You know, labor is not easy. Sleepless nights. Now, after look at Tiff, she's doing so much. Tired and exhausted. That's how it is sometimes. Sleeplessness. Exhausted. Another sister keeps driving around the young brothers or sisters from different places. Another brother goes anywhere in your call to help out. How do you do this? Opening your houses. If it is not a labor of love. Labor is not easy. You need to ask the Lord. You can only do it with the Lord. It comes with a cost. Willing to pay the price. You know, Paul said, for the upward calling. And the last point over here is a patience of hope. Endurance is needed, brothers and sisters. I haven't run much in this race yet, but it's been very clear to me. Endurance is needed. You know? Some of you know that, no, some of us run in some races. Physical races. Yeah, we run in 10 kilometers or half a marathon. And I can tell you, it's not easy. At least for a fat guy like me, it's not easy. You know, I see sometimes young men like Tim and I run. It's like, you know, James is just breezing through. I'm like huffing and puffing. Need endurance. That's why it's important that, you know, we were reminded of the end goal. If the end goal is in sight, you will run. I can tell you, for myself, when I see that finish line, I may be about half a kilometer away. But when I see that finish line far away, I don't know what happens. Something happens. There's an extra boost. You know, don't stop now. Keep going. Let us run. Learn the race with endurance, it says. I pray that all this is reminding us. We have a responsibility not to stop now, but to press on. To reach perfection, it is our responsibility. Amen. Praise the Lord, saints.
If I'm not mistaken, the message is to go on to perfection, right? Maturity. Perfection there, in that word, means maturity. Right? Because whatever God has created on this earth is living. It is a matter of life. Right? Who's your oldest son?
Jasper.
How old is he now?
30.
30. Did he become 30 overnight? Oh, 30 years. So when he was born 30 years old. No. Nobody's born mature. Are you born mature? No. How long did it take? Wow, years. Years. Right. What is your job today?
Engineer.
Wow, you were born an engineer.
Not so easy.
Oh, how long did it take for you to become an engineer?
Several years.
Oh, several years. So to go on to perfection, right? Are you perfect? No. How about now?
That's where we need to walk.
Right. when you plant a seed into the ground, you remember the fairy tale, Jack and the Beanstalk?
Yeah.
Overnight, boom, there was a tree that grows up there. It's a fairy tale. It doesn't happen like this. We don't expect a young Christian to be perfect overnight. That is not a principle of life. To be perfected, it takes care. Right? You planted a seed, you have to water it. You have to take care of it. You have to be patient. Let it grow. You may say, after you plant a seed, after 5 months, you'll bear much fruit. No, take years. And when a tree grows fruit, does it grow immediately, first fruits? Even takes a long time for each fruit to mature. So, to mature in our Christian life takes time. I've been a Christian for many years. I was born in a Christian family. I'm over 80 now. If you ask me whether I'm perfect, I'm perfected, I dare not say that.
You can use this.
Oh.
Because the people on Zoom are... I have to fix something. Just use that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But it's okay as long as you hear it. That's fine. But it's for all the saints, right? The fellowship. Do not expect to be perfect all the time. Well, immediately, I mean. Right? How about your experience? Are you perfect now?
No.
After so many years? There's still so much to learn. You know, in Philippians, Paul wrote about Philippians, and he says, not that I'm already perfect, but I've reached maturity. When I read that, I said, Paul, how come you can write the book of the epistle to Philippi, right? This wonderful Philippians. And yet you said, you're not yet perfected, not that you have reached maturity. I was very surprised. I said, how come? Right. Not that I've already reached the goal, perfected. At his age, as an apostle, not perfected. Only at the time of the very end, he realized he finished the race. He fought a good fight. But it's not... before he arrives there. Right. He finished the race. He fought a good fight, but not immediately. It took a long time for Paul to be perfected. Yeah. Right. So, even you have been a Christian for so many years, are you perfect? No more mistakes? Never failed? Should I ask your wife? My daughter? No, it takes time, it takes training, it takes the growth in life to be perfected.
Amen.
And you cannot say, I want to be perfect overnight. Well, to be a desire to be perfected is good. You have to, right? When you're about 12 years old, 15 years old, maybe you want to be a doctor. Okay, does it mean now you're a doctor? takes a lot of training. Yeah, you have to go to school. You have to learn. It takes time. Right. What Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews is, don't stay there. Okay, I like kindergarten so much, I'm just going to stay there. No. Even elementary school is good. I had a wonderful time in elementary school. Even in high school, I had a good time in high school, but I cannot stay there. But I need it. Yeah. Right? You cannot just go to university right after you were born. Send your baby to University of Toronto. How about that? Can you do that? No, it takes a long time. Right, Naomi? You cannot send Elizabeth there to UT if he's just 3 years old or 5 years old. Not even when he's 10. When she's 10, you cannot. You have to go through stages of growth. That is very necessary. So do not be discouraged.
Amen.
Right. Remember, even in our Christian life, even if you are a Christian for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, does not mean that you are not perfect. But a desire to be perfected.
Amen.
Now, if you ask me a question, just like what I thought, Lord, you are so capable. Why in Genesis, you have to take 6 days to create everything? If I were you, I would just say, let there be everything. I mean, it was everything. Huh?
Let there be everything.
Let there be everything. You think it won't happen? Yes, he's God. He can do all things. But how come he just said the first day, let there be light? And there was light. Oh, okay. I'll continue this, to do the rest right away, even, okay, first day. But God didn't do that. He did it for 6 days. There's a principle of life there. God wants to show us something.
Amen.
Why did God have to start with Adam and Eve? He could have just, with a snap of his finger, he would have a beautiful, wonderful, perfect church. Right? You think he could do that? No, because he wants to do everything by life. If you build a chair, you can build it very quickly. Right? You build this table. Oh, I think Mo can do that in a few weeks, a couple of weeks, right? Yeah. If you devote your time the whole day, right? So 1 week, you may be able to do it. But you're not a chair. Life is very different. Right. That's why when you believe in the Lord Jesus, you're just born again.
Amen.
Born again. Were you born mature like that? Impossible. Impossible. Right. So when God created everything, right, it is very living and alive. And he created everything that bears seeds. We are God's farm. I planted, right? And Apollos watered, or Apollos planted. I watered, whoever, it doesn't matter. And overnight it become a big tree. No, it doesn't happen like that. Right? So be encouraged, okay? Don't be discouraged if you made some mistakes. Oh, I'm done. God is not going to give you up. You remember Peter? Was Peter perfect when he was called by the Lord? And he had a desire, I'm going to go with you all the way to the cross, to be crucified with you. What of a desire. I think the Lord appreciated that. The Lord didn't say, no, you're not going to do that. You can't do it. The Lord didn't say that. But I think the Lord really appreciated his desire.
Amen.
Right? But then the Lord says, no. Before the cock crow. How many times?
3 times you will deny me.
You will deny me 3 times. Peter didn't believe that.
Yeah.
No, he says, no, no, I can do it. And I'm going to do it. And I believe the Lord appreciated that, but the Lord knew he cannot do it. But he tried. So when he failed, and he denied, even denied by swearing. What would you do? Hang yourself like Judas? You know, after he denied the Lord 3 times, and the Lord looked at him with burning eyes, angry, full of understanding. What if somebody made mistakes at all? You're going to hang your son? No, no. Right. And Peter thought, I'm done. I better go back fishing. But the Lord did not give him up. Why is it after his resurrection he told Mary to go back and tell my disciples? And Peter, he said.
Amen.
The Lord remembered. Because Peter, definitely, I will feel terrible denying my Lord and Savior 3 times. I would believe I'm hopeless. Wouldn't you believe? Wouldn't you think that?
Yeah.
Who would not think that? How about you, Tiff? But the Lord did not give him. And praise the Lord. Look at Peter. He became a wonderful
Amen.
Apostle of the Lord. And that's why Peter says, you know, for me to repeat it, saying to you again and again, it is not a problem for me. He learned from his mistake. Yeah. He didn't give them up. One mistake, 3 mistakes, 30 mistakes. How many mistakes did you create or make after you were saved? 3 times? 300 times? We made mistakes every day. Did the Lord give you up?
No.
No, but he trusts in his life in you.
Amen.
Yeah. Trust in our life. The life of Christ in our human life. He knows we make mistakes. The Lord says, I will build my church. What happened to the first church built? The church in Jerusalem, what happened? It was gone. What about the 7 churches in the book of Revelation?
Huh?
So if you were the Lord, what are you going to do? Forget it. I'm going to change my plan.
Yeah, that's
I'm going to build something better than the church. No, the Lord will never give up.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. If he gives up like you and me, we won't be sitting here today. You and I won't be here today sharing and having fellowship. Right? We have a desire to be perfect, right? Don't you? So that means you will never fail again. You will never do mistakes. Oh. Don't worry if you do mistakes. It's a real mistake if you don't learn from your mistake. Then it's a real mistake. But even then, the Lord will have mercy on you. Right. Did your parents throw you out because you made mistakes, James? Right. You wouldn't throw James out because he's perfect. Then why didn't you just throw him out and adopt another child? No, he's your son. Right. And so is our God, a wonderful God. Yes, be perfect. That's right. You encourage your son to be perfect, right? Didn't you? Even if he made mistakes, go ahead, try again. Look at Nathan, praise the Lord. He's doing so well. Taking notes. Isn't that wonderful? Because he's grown up. The growth in life takes time. Right. It's a matter of life. Yes, we need to have the fear of the Lord. You're right. It's written. But the Bible is not all about fear. So sometimes our danger is taking things out of the Bible and talk about it, and then all the saints saying, oh, we need to fear God. We have to have the fear of God. No. But the fear is just like one of the many things you added in the living Word of God. You cannot just take away one topic and emphasize it. It's just like when you cook, you have salt, but just a little bit is good enough. Then you have some pepper, you have some soy sauce, some hot sauce, some sugar, a little bit of everything, and the food tastes excellent. Yes, the godly fear is necessary. But fear without love, it's not good. Fear without the life and the care, right, is not good.
Amen.
The best thing to add to the fear is love. And fear is not just afraid. Fear is also respect, reverence. That's why it says, serve the Lord acceptably, do what God wants, but with reverence. Not just fear God, not just believing. You have to respect him. He's God. When you see a police car, well, you better respect that police car. Right? And we are very thankful for the police, actually, you know. It's very necessary. But as parents, it's not just disciplining your child, but it's the best way is with the love of God. Yeah. Discipline without love is not necessarily the best way. But with love, it works much better. Right? Otherwise, when a child grows up, he will just remember, oh, My dad was super strict. No, but with love and with care. Right. That is the best way.
Right.
Fear must be incorporated with respect.
Mm-hmm.
And with love. And knowing God. Don't just believe in God, but to remember God is God. If you believe in the law here in Canada, you respect the law. Right? You respect the law. We know God. You have to love God. That's the first law. What is the first law?
Love.
To fear God? No, to love God. To love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and even strength. Not just to believe in God. He is God. You have to realize everything is created by Him. Even our Lord Jesus Christ is God. Hebrews chapter 1.
Amen.
All things were created by Him. Yeah. So, may the Lord open our eyes. If you love God, you will respect Him.
Amen.
You will fear Him. And then you will serve Him.
Amen.
Not only as a Christian being saved, but you become His son, His daughter. Yeah. Right. Which father doesn't love the children? Do you love your children? You gave them everything, right? You work so hard for whom? For yourself?
No.
No. You think our Heavenly Father, you're better than the Heavenly Father? No, everything's provided by God because He loves us. He didn't want us just to fear Him, but the best thing is to love Him.
Amen.
And if you love Him, you respect Him. You will do everything for Him. You know, in my age, I never forgot to my parents. I'm very thankful to God for giving me such parents. Yeah. Yeah. So, praise the Lord. If you love God, you will fear Him. But now, so I'm talking about God. Oh, okay. Oh, it's terrible. I'm afraid of Him. No, not like that. You want your children to be afraid of you? Hmm? Are you afraid? Right. So, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful relationship. He's our Father. Amazing. Which religion call their God Father? You tell me. Buddha, your father? Have you ever seen the Buddhist calling Buddha his father? No, but it's our Father who art in heaven. It's such a wonderful, loving relationship. You didn't just call anybody your father, right? And your children will not just call anybody your father, but you call it Father. Taking care of us.
Amen.
Using our Heavenly Father. It's just a title. What a wonderful relationship. Right. So, anyway, I just thought I'll mention this to you all.
Amen.
Perfection takes time.
Amen.
In all of God's creation, perfection takes time.
Amen.
Be patient, okay?
Amen.
Doesn't matter if you made some mistakes, it's normal. You're not a Superman. There's no such thing as Superman. But you can always repent and turn back.
Amen.
The seven churches, they all made mistakes. But the Lord says, repent. If you repent, I will even give you a reward. Yeah. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. Don't worry if you made mistakes. But don't say, okay, no, I can feel free to make mistakes. No, no, don't go to that extreme, okay? But sin is in our flesh. We made mistake. What does the saying goes? To err is?
Human.
Are you human? So you made mistakes. Your children made mistakes. I made mistakes. Even an old man made mistakes. But praise the Lord, the more we grow in life, the more we'll be perfected.
Amen.
That is why in chapter 6 of Hebrews, after you have tasted so much of life, you know the truth, you are mature, you have even tasted the heavenly power to come. And yet if you fall, right? Especially if you're an old man, oh, well, I'm in danger of falling. Falling does not mean that you are a Christian thought of falling. Right? You can always get up. When you fall, what do? Get up, right?
Amen.
Don't just stay there on the floor. Get up and go on. No one can be perfect overnight.
Yes.
It takes time, we encourage one another, and we take care of one another.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.